Hey, this is Merc, and this is Zero Issues. For this week, I don't even know what number episode this is.
This
I don't
be,
care.
Don't even say. It's number six.
Oh.
Or is it?
I don't even know. Well, it depends on how I don't mean we this mix is the order around.
This is number six AU.
Oh, God.
AU. Age of Ultron, Joe.
It's a tie-in issue.
So it's 6.1.
Yeah, 6.AU. That's what we've Point already one. Been through. This is the thing. I know we've already covered this in another one. So,
so it's 6.1. This is the episode that you don't really need to hear, but you're gonna buy anyways, just to.
There's a bunch of fan art.
Yeah.
Guest stuff.
Oh, yeah. Scotty Young's in this.
I was gonna say it was a Scotty Young print.
Oh, damn it! You can't not get that.
The actual topic.
Oh,
will
we all look like babies.
Look, Skeletor is so cute. I just want to pinch his...
Oh my god, he doesn't have flesh.
Oh god. Cheekbones.
I just want to grab his cheekbones.
Let go of me.
Yeah! Let go of me!
I like gruff Skeletor.
A Skeletor impression in every episode. That's the Zero Issues guarantee.
I was walking around Calgary, so they were both doing that. We got off them.
Which is pretty close to Snarf.
Yeah.
Which is also pretty close to a gangster.
Yeah, do you want coppers?
Just the tone of voice is a lot like the Monarch even from Venture Brothers. They should all get together, I think.
What a dick!
Yeah.
What a dick! So wait, what's the topic?
Oh god, who knows?
What is the topic? Weird notions that persist in comics. Things that... I don't know if it's things that had to be old that have continued until now that, or things that doesn't have to be that old, but things that have just kind of become canon or understood or just accepted in comics that
something just
really
becomes
doesn't necessarily make sense.
Yeah, like something just becomes such a tradition or so entrenched in, like, there's so many, like, even just superhero origin stories that, you know, by what we know, even then it made no sense at all. But like during, say, the 60s, how every single Marvel character was, like, radiation-based.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, no, they'd just be dead.
Yeah.
And but that hasn't changed. Like, they haven't updated that at all. Like, they've made some attempts to, and then they're just immediately forgotten because that contradicts the original storyline that everyone is so fond of. So we keep these things that are just kind of ridiculous and outdated and sort of, like, Atomic Age kind of throwbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else gets updated with the times, or most everything else gets updated with the times, but that aspect of it never hasn't been updated or amended at all.
And I think some of these things are kind of things like that, where it's like, everybody's radiation, but okay, we all accept that now, and it just becomes accepted, and you don't even think twice about it. And then some things, I think, like, I was just
but
writing...
But if you were to show it to an outsider, they'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Say what?
Or even kind of bigger notions, not specifically to that character, or that character became this, but ideas of, and some of them are so obvious, but we don't even think about it, or some people do think about it, and it's starting to become an issue, like everyone is white in comics,
right.
Like things like that. Is
Things that they address in parody comics and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Or, like, have been addressed to a certain point, but not really, or, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, and then, you know, again, especially, yeah, you go back to those, like, 60s or earlier, I mean, it's just, you know, how things kind of were. It was just sort of a product of the times. But, yeah, it's funny how certain characters and concepts and stuff like that have caught on and become so iconic that they're kind of untouchable.
Yeah.
Even though, you know,
well,
really,
just,
I mean...
Part of it is just readership has become more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say smarter, because I don't think they're smarter.
Wow.
Gotta be honest here.
Some of them have. Yes.
No, some of them have. Yeah, and some of them have not. And I'm sure that existed 50 years ago. That's true. That's like they're varying degrees of intelligence, and that's fine. But just in terms of what people expect, and this isn't just comics, but comics, movies, books, whatever,
everything, TV, more realism.
Yeah,
yeah,
more realism, and just yeah. I guess a more serious tone and approach.
And at least more of an effort to try and represent the world we're living in.
Yeah. Whereas, if some of that stuff had been done today that was done then, immediately, there's also the internet effect that it's like everybody's on the internet. Like, did you see this? What they did on there? That makes no sense at all. And it would be called on immediately. Even now, like, there's a plot hole in a movie and everybody points it out and it's...
Yeah.
Right.
Before the movies even come out, like, you see the reviews beforehand, and, oh, Spider-Man 2 had this and this and this, and, like, I haven't seen the movie. I haven't read a thing yet.
But. Recording this on the day that movie comes out, and we're all, instead of going to see that movie, recording this podcast, so,
I'm not rushing to see it. I'm gonna see it soon. I made a point on the first one not to go see it, and avoid it as long as I could, because I hate the idea of reboots. And just for the sake of rebooting. I was like, you know what? You abandon everything you've done before. Okay, sometimes you screw up and you have a bad movie. Like, Spider-Man 3 was horrible. But that doesn't mean you're like, scrap it! And 5 years later, it was such a quick turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember exactly how many years it was, but it seemed like a regular amount of time just between a movie and a sequel, really.
It's not like, you know, several decades have passed. Okay, you want to start the franchise anew. That makes more sense.
And they could have just carried on without, you know, the principal cast and gone absolutely. And just been like, hey, this guy's playing Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
It's the same storyline, kind of like James Bond.
Yeah.
Or even don't necessarily. You could even just sort of not.
Pretty smart.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sophisticated.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe not smart, but.
To bring us back to topic, I'm just going to say this.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Whoa, we're in the Hall of Justice now.
How did that happen?
We jumped on such a tangent super fast.
Look at the size of that screen. Who is that? White president? That's the white president.
God, can we get a different president? Well, whatever.
Funny, because it's true.
It's the 70s.
Okay, so, we'll get back off the tangent and back to the regular topic here.
What's something that made sense at the time, makes absolutely no sense now? Can you give me an example?
Everything.
Good work.
You have
this has been zero issue.
Some of them are more like, not that they don't make complete sense. Well, this Silver Surfer. I love the character Silver Surfer, but he's just on a surfboard. When you just kind of back up and look at that for a second.
Right.
You know, he's on a surfboard in space. That sounds like a good idea, Jack. Go with that. But somehow it works, but it's
I give when a you little step more, back, it
looks a little weird.
It does. I think that's sort of part of it. I think, like, when you get into the cosmic characters, I think you get a little more leeway for just things being, again, just being weird for the sake of being weird, just being, you know, maybe not making sense. You know, if it's legitimately an alien, I'm kind of like, well.
But then he's also called the Silver Surfer.
There's that. Oh, he's...
What would you call him?
Was he called that before he showed up on Earth, where we actually had surfing, and we assume is, you know, this is a culture that developed independently from any space ones.
Galactus named him that, didn't he not?
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, okay, well, yeah. Sure.
Then he's like, he puts his hand over.
I name you my hero.
Kirby Crackle. You are Silver Surfer.
How did Galactus know what surfing is if he never... I mean, do they have surfing on other planets, even though
they had surfing in the old universe.
I was going to say in the previous
universe. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, did they?
Well, who doesn't?
Prove me wrong. Well, in Ultimate Comics, like, they did the not real Silver Surfer in the Ultimate Galactus series. Not Cataclysm, but...
Yeah, the one before.
5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't really a surfer. It was a bunch of heralds, and they were all silver guys, and some of them had wings, some of them happened to have surfboards.
Yeah,
but then later,
some of them happened to have surfboards.
Well, hey, this guy has
some of them just had wakeboards. There's a guy in a jet ski.
One with rollerblades.
There's
Solar jet ski!
There's the guy with the... Was it like the boogie board or whatever? Yeah, just the little one you like kick swim on. The flutter board.
And there's one guy with just like the inflated ring that he...
I don't swim very well. Wait, guys, wait. I'm water wing.
Oh.
Slow down, guys. You never let me come to you and eat a planet. You suck. I'm telling Galactus.
Oh, space wave, help.
But... they later show that those non-Silver Surfers, silvery guys, were all based on the Silver Surfer.
Right.
Norrin Rad. Like, the ultimate Norrin Rad. And it was like, why would you sort of retcon that so that... No. There is a Silver Surfer. Don't worry. There's a guy. He's silver. He's all over the place on that board. I don't know what kind of tricks you can do on a surfboard, but I assume they're like a skateboard.
So they kind of went out of their way to kind of sidestep the issue, and then they're just like, no, let's go back to there. Now it's,
I'm the surfer, I'm hanging 10.
That was really good. I really liked the Silver Surfer. So I miss him. We gotta have him in this universe, too.
And that's...
Galactus is like, shoot the pipe! I want all the ham.
Gnarly! That's sort of a thing, too, even. Just the Ultimate
Point
Universe.
Break. I love that movie.
How do you even know about that? Everyone knows Point Break. It's the only movie that's known throughout the galaxy.
The Skrulls love it.
The Ultimate Universe is, again, you're talking about specifically, and that, I think that's kind of an issue with the Ultimate Universe, which was kind of started off to be an updated, more... basically a universe that avoids... a lot of those...
cliches.
Yeah, like the stuff from, like, the 60s that you cannot shake.
Right.
For example, like, you know, if in the modern day, the idea of, like, again, like, hey, a bunch of superheroes are just going to form a team in some rich arms dealer's mansion, and they're just going to, like, have jets coming out of their mansion, and they're just going to, like, there's no way that wouldn't be shut down or something. The government would get involved in, like, they'd stomp that out one way or another. So the idea of the Ultimates, where it's like, yeah, they're a government team. They're government sponsored. They're government, you know, it just makes sense.
There is
in the modern world.
And there is, we have to explain that there is always that suspension of disbelief.
Of course.
There's always, like, there's something that isn't going to make sense.
Yeah.
We're talking about that, but then there's that thing beyond that just.
Oh, sure.
That's like, you know what? That's not right.
In that case, though, with the Ultimates, I find it funny because they went out of their way in the second run of the Ultimates. To, at the end, be like, hey, let's just be the Avengers now, where they broke from, they were part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and then it's like, now we're not part of S.H.I.E.L.D., and now we're just chilling out in Tony's mansion. Where even in the universe, like, you're like with the Silver Surfer, where they specifically update things and change them, and they have no reason to stick to the old formula, for some reason, even in that universe, that's supposed to be different, the writers eventually like, yeah, but let's make it like the thing that we're used to.
What if they had a mansion?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so they just basically turned, you know, like again, like Silver Surfer, they had a really, you know, an idea that sort of, you know, I thought it was a good update.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah,
didn't stick to it.
No, they didn't stick to it. And the Ultimates where they had like a good setup, which was, you know, adopted by the Avengers movie, really.
Right.
So that was that good, like it made that much sense. But even in the comics, they couldn't stick to it because it's like, yes, but this is different than the Avengers, so it has to be like the Avengers. When it's kind of, you know, if you have a way to update things and with no reason at all to stick to that, why do they keep going back to that old familiar formula just because that's something they like? You know what I mean? It's just like, it seems like you can't escape the original version.
I don't know if maybe that was partially a nod. The original, like it wasn't the same, but it was like similar aspects at that point.
It did lead into the super good Ultimates 3.
Yeah,
my favorite of all of the Ultimate books.
It's like episode 6. We're already starting like doing the greatest hits here. It's like, hey, here's the things that we hated in other episodes. But yeah, Ultimates 3 was that was some hot garbage.
Well, we got to see the Ultimate Savage Land, which was the Savage Land.
Exactly,
they changed nothing.
This one's hotter. Frustrating. It's like, more malaria.
You know what? Use your imagination and do something new. Nope, not doing that.
They could have put feathers on the dinosaurs, but they didn't.
Oh, see? Right. Exactly.
Huge chickens.
Oh, man.
It's a more realistic world.
Savage poultry land.
Yeah.
Mm. I would eat there.
Mm, chicken.
I just get the fries, though.
Seven herbs and spices.
I want all the chicken.
Galactus, what are you doing here?
I'm so hungry. Your aunt kicked me out of the house.
Get a job.
You get a job. I eat planets.
Hi, Sheila. Sheila, it's Greg. Yeah, your husband's here. He ate all the chicken.
I ate all the chicken.
I'm talking to your wife. I'm trying to save... At least one of us is trying to save this marriage. And it's me. I'm not even involved in it.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, she hung up. She hung up.
Bitch.
Dad, he got into the giant liquor cabinet.
You can't stay here.
Do you have a huge couch that I may lay upon?
I hunger for Doritos.
I want all the couch.
And it can't have big armrests because I can't take this helmet off and...
Hand, it's so heavy.
I need to lay flat. Otherwise it really cranes my neck. It's just... It's not good.
And sorry, I'm repeating a little bit. Oh, my stomach is so upset.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice...
I mean, you did mention suspension of disbelief, which sort of like... there's a lot of things that like you could just nitpick.
Yeah.
Again, in a similar way, like, for example, like, Superman's rocket arriving on Earth. It's like, yeah, I'm... Again, like, they're watching the skies.
Well,
it's not
that.
As if that
yeah,
goes unnoticed.
Think,
right.
There's no way that he, well, you know, that Kent's take him in without anybody noticing that this happened. Like, there's no way the government doesn't take him.
But there are already books about that.
There are, yeah. It's been addressed, just not in the, like, standard actual continuity. Right. It's always sort of like an Elseworlds or something like that, where or an alternate reality.
I like how in The Nail, where the Amish took him in, getting taken in by the Amish.
Isn't the concept that there's a nail in the road that stopped the Kent's car, so they didn't get to him, and I guess the Amish got to him instead. I didn't...
And he was super Amish.
Just crazy Amish.
Super Amish.
He'd be really good at building barns.
He's the most Amish.
Is that all he did in the comic, is build barns?
And he had the super Amish beard.
He could churn butter in, 8 seconds.
I was thinking less that sort of thing, and it was... Because it was Kyle that suggested this episode.
So I'm bringing a lot to the table.
Well, no, but
the way you
had kind of mentioned it, it was sidekicks.
Right.
One of your things.
Oh,
and
I thought
that's a good idea. That it was like, you know what? Like, we totally don't even question the idea of sidekicks. And it's, why the hell would you have a kid? I'm going to be a vigilante. Let's bring a kid along. That makes sense. Yeah.
Hey,
little Timmy, want to get your head bashed?
He distracts the criminals.
Yeah,
we're at the point now.
Because the criminals are all pedophiles as well, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, we're all kind of at the point now where how many Robins have died at some point?
Right.
Yeah.
And trying to cram that into a 5-year gap.
Oh, yeah, no, if you count the new 52, which I refuse to.
You killed all these kids in 5 years. Maybe you should stop doing this.
I mean, they were either undone or, you know, faked or something. But yeah, you had, Jason Todd. You had Stephanie Brown.
Who's that?
Yeah, who's that, indeed.
Hey-o.
And you had recently Damian Wayne. And I mean, like, even the one where Stephanie Brown, the death was faked. You know, ultimately they brought her back and said, no, the death was faked to teach you a lesson, Batman, about how dangerous this is. And it's like, well, he didn't get that at all because...
Here's his kid,
who is also now dead. So it's just, at some point, we're just like, hey, yeah, that's...
He's like, oh, shit, sorry, guys, I killed another one.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, a teenager or a child who's legitimately...
I am running out of glass cases to put these costumes in.
They're pretty... I have to imagine those are expensive even for a millionaire. So, you know what? For the sake of keeping your glass case budget down, stop endangering children, Batman.
Well, it's... Okay, let's put it in historical context of what... This is, like, the 50s.
Yeah.
Whatever, when this first came out, and the idea... And I don't know if... Was Robin the first one? That's, I think, the first prominent one.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was...
Was that before or after Bucky? I imagine he was before Bucky, right?
Kids with lovely, bright colors.
And what was the idea? It was like, okay, we have these... Well, in Batman's case, we have a darker character. Mm-hmm. That it was an intention to lighten the character and bring in a different dynamic, which is totally... It's a story thing, and it's a business thing, too. It's like, okay, now we're going to appeal to kids. I actually have that on. Okay, this actually leaves to... But I have written down in my list the idea that young characters attract appeal to young readers. I think that's a notion that has to be discarded.
Yeah.
I think that's ridiculous. When you were a kid, did you only...
Right. It's sort of the same idea as looking at a cartoon or a sitcom or any sort of TV show that's geared towards kids and takes place in school.
Yeah.
Like, of all of the things, you could do anything. You can do anything with this format.
Right.
And it's kids in school.
Well, the kids, they'll relate to it. No, just, like, I think I've said this, like, 7 times during these podcasts. Just tell a good story.
Right.
And somebody will like it.
I feel like I mentioned this possibly earlier in another episode, too, but it's kids. I mean, I started reading comics when I was a kid, watching TV when I was a kid, and I liked a lot of the stuff I liked the most wasn't pandering to kids. It was, like, I first read, like, Modern Spider-Man when he was married to Mary Jane, and I loved it, and I was right into it, and that's when I really got into Spider-Man, who's my favorite, probably my favorite superhero character, and I got into that in no small part because it was aspirational. Like, I looked at it, and it's like, he has problems, and he's relatable,
right.
But at the same time, like, but you know what? He keeps trying, and he's got a decent life regardless, and he's got somebody who loves him, and I want that someday, and you know what I mean? Like, it's something to look towards instead of necessarily being like, here, this is representing you right now.
Also web shooters.
Well, there's that, and then there's also, like, when I was younger, one of my favorite characters was Wolverine. There's no aspiration. There's no relatability. It was like, that's just a really cool character.
Sometimes they're just really, really fucking cool.
Yeah, it's that. And I liked Colossus a lot. And, you know, like a couple other characters that I really connected with through the years and followed quite a bit. And
so it's not necessarily, oh, I see myself in this character.
Yeah, and I don't.
Which is what is something that's done again and again.
Yeah, and then it's the idea of, okay, we'll take these characters and we're going to make them teenagers now. That really doesn't.
Right.
It's like, okay, now you just abandoned that character. And no. And it's made an obvious business ploy of, I want to appeal to children to buy the book. Like,
right.
I don't think that's even needed. If you just tell some good stories, it's going to happen naturally.
I mean, a good character, again, like, you know, if you're trying to youngen up a character or something like that, or take, like, a character archetype or something and youngen it up to try to appeal to young people, it's like, the traits that they have are kind of just universal anyway. You know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to say, like, for example, like, I'm thinking, like, if you take someone like Cyclops or Wolverine and you're like, let's make him a teenager or something like that, or like, make a character like them that's a teenager so kids can relate to them, it's like, yeah, but if there's aspects of that character that you're specifically trying to emulate of another character, or, you know, you're trying to youngen up that character, alter that character, it's like, yeah, but the things that actually appeal to them were already there.
Yeah.
So what's the point of trying to alter them to... Yeah.
Not that I don't like young characters, and they can be done really well, but it's you know what, just do a character. Don't take one character and...
Can I say one exception to that rule?
What's that?
Kid Gladiator. Who is Gladiator's son.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Marvel Gladiator?
Yeah.
From Wolverine and the X-Men. Did he exist before that?
No. That's,
what do you mean? Jason Gladiator Aaron's... with the Mohawk? Like,
yeah. He had a kid. Oh, and his kid goes to Wolverine's school. And he's delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's just... He's kind of like Gladiator, but he's more pompous.
I've never seen
that. Again, like, you're talking about a pompous character. Yeah, that's a good example of that working, because if somebody's, like, a teenager, man, does that, it amplifies it in such a perfect way.
He's a delight.
We'll jump back on track with one of Kyle's original notions was...
to kick this whole idea off.
That kicked the whole idea off was the idea that in these fantastic worlds, there's all this advanced tech, but there's no cure for cancer.
Yeah.
And just that sort of idea. And I kind of ran with that, and I was looking stuff up, and I was just kind of running things in my head, and I thought...
And they've done stuff with that with...
Not that they haven't.
With Captain Marvel and with the Silver Surfer Requiem book.
Right. Like, not that stuff hasn't been done, but overall the idea is there's crazy advanced tech, but it's not really used...
Right.
But not that...
They do...
I'm sure that's the idea that it just doesn't make that great of a story.
Right.
Because really, that's what it all boils down to.
I mean, they would, if they approach it and actually sort of, you know, hang like shit on that or whatever, and just sort of be like, well, there's some things that all of this can't fix.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, okay. And you kind of have to do that, but I mean, there's the whole, ultimately, really, I mean, you're living in their world. You look at the Marvel Universe in particular, the Marvel world in particular, which was pretty much designed to more or less be the world we live in.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be kind of like, again, like something that's something we recognize more so than, like, say, DC. Something we recognize as being kind of realistic.
There are real cities.
You could see yourself. What?
I guess because they just didn't have Metropolis and Gotham.
Well, I mean, they very specifically didn't have fictional cities or anything, or like fictional whatever. It was very much just Earth.
Yeah, just but also just Wakanda.
Oh, there's Wakanda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's real, isn't it?
True. I choose to believe it's real.
Vibranium's real, isn't it?
Fellas.
Oh no. But I mean, yeah. Again, they specifically make this when it started off. It was sort of.
Yeah,
meant to be.
You got stunned look.
Oh God!
No, continue.
Well, okay. The idea I was thinking was like going off that was okay. There's all these powers and advanced tech, yet they all use them to like fight bank robbers and
yeah,
like and I think more for a DC than that. I don't know. Maybe more earlier DC than that. I don't know. Like you look at The Flash. And maybe it's just his rogues gallery. They're all pretty...
Hokey.
And okay. Low-key kind of guy. I got a boomerang. Like, really?
Like, is that boomerang made of putties?
That's what
boomerang... Well, it's a trick one.
That's what Uncle Galactus told me that...
Oh, God.
Boomerang Sam.
You know, he's not really your uncle.
But he said he was.
He's one of those family members that, you know.
He said we have a secret.
Well, we're getting rid of that character. Shit, we almost had a good character going there.
I just accidentally.
Oh, God.
But okay, if you go to the idea that there's always powers in tech and they can do whatever, but they focus, I'm going to stop this bank robber. Not that that's not a nice and noble gesture. But right. Say somebody...
Why can't you just... teach the bank robber to read. And then he wouldn't have to go out and rob a bank. Because he never learned to read.
That's a good point.
Why'd you take that money and invest in the school system?
Somebody like
children of the future.
Somebody like Storm. She's got weather controlling.
She can read.
Hey. Weather controlling abilities.
Yeah.
So go solve some drought. Huge problems other than, like, I'm going to use this lightning bolt. Bank robber! I suddenly went to Skeletor.
That's what I think of when I think of Storm.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a Sentinel, whatever. Yeah. And which again, is a valid use of lightning strikes, but that's all
they should do, but...
I gotta say, if you gotta hit something with lightning, you should probably hit a Sentinel.
Yeah. And again, this is nitpicking, because it's like...
Or intolerance.
These are fictional characters, and it's
weird. But
it's weird that we're debating this. But at the same
time, if they're specifically trying to emulate something that if it's not the real world, is at least something that is recognizably close to it.
Yeah,
it does raise those questions. I mean, you just something more recent and something not even as big as, say, for example, Storm being able to use her powers to solve the problem of drought outright, which she could. But, I mean, even, like, you had in Superior Spider-Man recently. I'm not actually reading it, but I know what's happening in it because I have the internet. And I guess Dr. Octopus... Yeah, Dr. Octopus in Peter Parker's body. He, I guess Aunt May... Something happened with Aunt May. She was injured or something, and she was walking with a cane.
Right.
So, I guess he invented, like, an implant, something that...
Built her a rocket cane!
Yeah!
And it blew her arm right off!
Oh, now she has two. Peter. Now she has two cane arms.
Yeah.
Which now she's Kane.
As per
Spider-Man,
you can't hug your children with nuclear canes.
This is all as per Steve Ditko's original vision, but we're still going.
Kirby Kane.
But it's again, it's something that he created something and was able to build that and put it, you know, and cure that problem for Aunt May. She didn't have that problem anymore, and it's sort of like, yeah. So why doesn't every single person who has some sort of a disability have this thing?
You know, like apply that to the rest of the world.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, and I guess you could...
There's like Reed Richards. He made Herbie.
Yeah.
What the fuck's up with that?
Yeah, it's a fun little guy. Well, it's like...
He feels in for the Human Torch pretty well, I hear.
Well, it's like Morrison's new X-Men stuff, where it's like there was a whole... like a culture of mutants and
yeah.
things were happening and the world was changing and all that, you know, like things were progressing and evolving. And it was an interesting book, but as soon as he was done, they, okay, everything that has been done, let's take it all back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's comics, we're telling the middle part of the story, so we can't have this much progression for this long.
Like again,
and it's also a storytelling hardships. Like, it's hard to pick up, like, that's really, Morrison's very specific in that yes. sort of stuff. So yes. it's like, okay, you're playing with each writer's strengths, and then there's also just their interests, their abilities, whatever. Are they going to be able to pick it up and, do I want to tell this story? And now I'm forced to tell this story because right. that fucking jerk Morrison was telling this before I jumped on issue 119. Yeah. Great, thanks.
Well, it does happen with
jerk 116.
You know, anytime yeah. he takes on a big thing like Superman or Batman or yeah. the X-Men yeah. or...
Wait for it.
Lake, the Wonder Twins and Gleek are getting ready for a campfire dinner.
Mm, hot dogs are almost done. And if you ask me, these wieners are winners.
Good night, everybody.
I never realized that their monkey was that into Glee.
What?
They call themselves Gleek.
Oh boy! Do you have the horn sound effects?
I didn't do that this week.
I'm pretty sure you could just punch me in the face and record that noise, and that would be equally good. In the Iron Man, there's Iron Man comics by Matt Fraction and Salvador La Roca, I believe. Presume you're reading those.
I don't think I've ever read an Iron Man book.
Really? It was good.
Other than Heroes Reborn, Iron Man.
That's the best choice.
That's
the best choice. He had like those.
You're
like,
gonna do that.
Whatever's hanging issue out of his two, back.
He fights the Hulk.
Yeah. Because why would you not do that?
Yeah.
So they had the whole idea is that Tony was trying to revolutionize the world.
Okay.
It's one of those. It was sort of coming off the movies a bit, and it was the characterization of him trying to make up for whatever. But the idea was that he was trying to power the world with repulsor energy.
Okay.
And
how long did that last?
Yeah, well, that run, basically, yeah. as far as I know. The whole idea is he started, he was, his Stark, you know, the actual Stark Industries was destroyed. Like a stained sun. Anyway, it was destroyed through, in the story, and he started a new startup, and their whole deal was he had, like, basically nothing left at this point, and he had, like, you know, they were trying to make a repulsor-powered car. And the whole idea was that everyone will have
the back of the car just said, pew, pew!
Yeah.
Now, who killed the repulsor-powered car?
Toyota just buried them all in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was the Mandarin. But, anyway...
You gotta fight the man.
Yeah.
Durin.
Damn you, Silvermane.
So the whole idea was, yeah, he was trying to, like, have everything powered that way, his whole idea. Like, he had an entire, like, an issue where the whole scene was him, like, talking to the assembled masters of industry, talking about, hey, this is the future. I'm doing this.
Repulsor-powered blenders.
Everything. Because it was, like, clean energy, and it was, like, it didn't destroy the planet, and it was, like, way more efficient.
And Harper was like, no!
Yeah, Stephen Harper came in and was just like, listen, Stark.
Pew, 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 pew!
Yeah.
He just threw John Baird at him.
So, yeah, they
get
had
him,
that.
Baird!
So, and legitimately part of the storyline was there was obviously a tons of resistance and people trying to destroy it because it would, you know, ruin the old way. But, you know, they were working towards it and they were, like, kind of successful and it was building towards something and it just sort of, again, it's one of those things where it's like, this is actually kind of really interesting because, again, like, every time you get into that kind of a storyline that's basically admitting that, hey, we're kind of the Marvel Universe or whatever universe is basically the future. Like, there's so much technology and so much information and knowledge there that is so far beyond what the real world is. And why aren't they living in a world where, like, SHIELD flying cars, like, aren't just SHIELD, you know what I mean? Like, everyone has a flying car, everyone has a repulsor powered flying car
because people watch Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah,
Oh.
Like, going back to a point earlier, people are stupid, and I don't think we've gotten smarter. I think we've actually gotten dumber. As a whole.
I don't
think everybody, but I think as a culture, and a good chunk of the population has gotten smarter.
That's fair to say. I think
a lot of it has.
If I were alive 40 years ago, I'd like to think that I would be a smarter man than I am now.
If you were alive 40 years ago?
But I probably wouldn't be quite so sexy.
It's true.
I mean, that's the trade-off.
It's a give and a take. Yeah.
I think that's legit. Huh?
I call it meevage.
Yeah.
It's male cleavage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in this sort of context, we kind of, again, they kind of have that status quo thing where everything has to be sort of real to a certain extent, but at the same time, they legitimately live in, like, a futuristic wonderland, and you have to sort of have those coexist while not taking the logical leap where, hey, all this technology exists, and there is no reason whatsoever that it shouldn't be widespread.
Right.
So they could just take that leap and just be like, hey, yeah, they live in a world like ours, but better than ours. And but you can just live in that world, but...
It's essentially, better, but it also has supervillains, so...
Yeah.
But then you could essentially... And really, the reason they don't do that, that, oh, they're going to solve cancer and environmental problems and blah, 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 all these things, is because then, okay, it doesn't... It won't be our world anymore.
Right.
There's a legitimate future sci-fi kind of thing, then you can do that, but... If you've created one entire universe that every Marvel character, every DC character is going to function under, you can't do that. Because then it's like...
Yeah, you're going to have to get rid of this thing that's part of the real world.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of brought up already. I mean, like, you're always in the middle of the story. That's the end of the story, really. Yeah. I mean, like, again, it's sort of like, oh, okay, all of this happened because of this world, this super world they live in. So, I mean, the end of the story is, again, it's, you know, this amazing futuristic utopia, and things are easier and things are better.
And so, it's just existing in our own timeline of what we know and what day-to-day that we understand. Like, and it's obviously progressed along, like in 1960, whatever technology was there was in those comics. And the same now, 2000s.
Yeah.
They have
the sliding timeline where they can update themselves to a certain point. But yeah, it's always kind of funny where it's, you know, certain technologies have far surpassed what we have, but other ones have stayed the same.
Yeah.
You know, like,
there's Iron Man in his car in the 1970s. He's got the big-ass car phone. And, and it's like, well, but you have armor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can fly and repulsor rays. And your armor bends. That was my other thing that I had on my list. Then, and kind of now, but a little less now, they've kind of fixed it, because it's like a lot of interlocking pieces on Iron Man armor.
Right.
But in 70, like...
How did that... Yeah.
You know, like, everything bent. He had facial expressions.
Yeah!
It's a helmet. How is that happening? How do you look mad? How is that happening? I'm angry, Iron Man.
How do you look happy?
Yeah. He's like, I want all the ham.
He and all, well, not me, I guess, but he and all of them, most people.
Yeah. I want all the iron.
So, it's a weird thing that you kind of, again, you kind of just have to accept because, I mean, again, like, if you were to do the logical thing for those storylines, it would kind of kill things in a way.
It kills the fantasy, and it kills the story. And,
right.
And of course, like, and there's a give and take in it. And then there's things that go too far, and then you're like, that's just getting dumb now.
You have to accept that they live in a world where, you know, again, like, there's futuristic technology where you can cure people's, you know, crippled, you know, people who are crippled or disabled.
But only if it's your aunt.
Only if it's your aunt. You can cure that. Again, like, you can, you know, make a suit that has, like, an AI and that gives you all sorts of, like, you have holograms, you have, like, you can go to space every 2 weeks if you remember the X-Men.
Right.
But, you know, Joe, guy on the street, just has a regular iPhone like everyone else.
Yeah.
Probably the cheap one with the colored plastic on the back. Even though, again, like, apparently, like, Peter Parker can have futuristic technology at his disposal, even though he's an everyman, you know? Just because.
Yeah. Because he's amazing and spectacular and sensational.
And web of.
Oh, I was going to say web of.
Oh, I beat you.
Okay, here's another one. The notion that the arch-villain of whoever continually operates within the same field as that arch-hero. Let's use the example of Batman and the Joker.
Right.
The Joker continually... I'm staying in Gotham. My arch nemesis who keeps foiling me every fucking time is Batman.
Right.
Right.
And he operates in Gotham.
There was that one...
not that they haven't ventured it, but it's...
There was one, I think, late 80s, early 90s comic where Joker just shows up in Metropolis and is gassing people. And Superman, you know, takes him out at the end of the issue. He's like, so why? Why are you here? He's like, why not? that's a good point.
He's got you there,
sir. Well, it was kind of almost, well, I mean, there's a more of a plot to it than that, but I mean,
I only vaguely remember the
Superman cartoon where, like, he's just like, oh, I'm going to Metropolis now, and Batman had to go there to actually deal with him.
Right.
Even though it's like, you don't really have
this is a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty sure they got a guy who can deal with this much more efficiently than you can. But...
I've got to fly either cross-country or just a little bit.
Injustice?
Yeah. Well, the whole idea is that the Joker has killed Lois Lane.
Right, right. And that's...
And infuriates.
Oh, there's like a comic tie-in where... Yeah, right. I think I saw a panel. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then...
Right. Superman... Like,
kills.
Boop.
Kills the Joker.
Yeah, kills the Joker.
And then it gets real dark. Yeah, and he gets a different costume. Just because.
I'm pretty sure...
Because when you go dark, you gotta get a new costume.
Did he change his name to, like, Magog?
Magog.
He got a whole bunch of gold.
Gog and Magog.
He got a whole bunch of pouches.
Horns. I think one of his eyes was all shiny for some reason.
Grew a mullet.
He may have been someone's son.
It's possible.
Future son.
It's very possible. Yeah, no, I... Yeah, I didn't
take know. That, kingdom come!
Yeah, exactly.
Pow!
Here's another ridiculous notion.
Yes.
That continues. The ridiculous notion of the super, of the secret identity.
Yeah.
When everyone can see who you are. Like, the obvious one is Superman.
Of course.
Oh, he vibrates his face, and he slouches. And
yeah, or puts on glasses.
His voice is an octave higher when he's Clark.
I put my curl the other way, but I'm massive. Look at me. I'm like 6'4 and 500 pounds of pure muscle. Then there's things like Green Lantern with the little tiny mask, which the movie kind of addressed.
Well, yeah.
With a little, like, I know
you're the most handsome man in the world.
Oh, someone's got a Ryan Reynolds crush.
One guy, a girl, and a boner maker is the other guy.
Okay, then.
Holy shit. Are you going to disagree that he is not a handsome man?
He is a handsome man.
That's right. And he's clever.
He's pretty charming.
And he's charming. Welcome to Reynolds Cast.
Yeah, Reynolds. And it's just like...
I've got zero Reynolds. I'm so sad about it.
Just think about him.
You have Reynolds issues.
Yeah.
That's going to be a five-minute Reynolds rap.
I clink with my empty glass. All right. Good Lord.
I don't think we've ever actually done that on the show.
No. Acknowledge that we're holding beers and drinking
them. No, I mean clink them.
And clink
them. And like, hey, fancy.
Female versions of male character. Which, again.
Okay, that depends on how you take that. And at first, I didn't click what they were talking about. But
again,
then,
like, the whole idea where...
Superman, Supergirl.
Yeah.
Lady Bullseye.
Where it's always like...
Yeah.
Why?
Like an under version and not, like, something equal, not something...
Oh, you mean that? I just mean the idea that there's even... one made. Like, what? Why not just make another character completely different?
Well, because people like this character.
Yeah.
And we have to get in. What if we got in female readers? What if we got in.
It's the Super 40 Family. 40
kids.
Superboy and Power Girl and Power Girl's boobies. And
we see that drawing
and
of
everybody
like,
has
it was like
windows.
Power Man, except the cutout was right there. You just saw like the neck. Yeah,
it was showing the neck.
You saw just like the base going down, and then it got cut off by the fabric.
Power Boy was a character, and it was like a male version of Power Girl.
Oh, really?
And had the same chest cutout.
It was just like it was just pecs.
It was like, for like one or two issues, and it was clearly a parody. But they did it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Again, it's one of those things where they're actually sort of addressing it in a way, and it's like, okay, for a joke or something.
This is real stupid. This has been stupid for a long time.
We're not going to stop doing it. Don't get me wrong. This is staying in place. We acknowledge it's stupid for two issues, and then we're just going to keep
it. That makes it okay.
Yeah, and then we'll continue doing it with no irony at all.
We're on your side.
Yeah, for two issues. Yeah. And then we're absolutely just doubling down on this shit.
Okay, and these are things that everybody, I'm sure, has thought about. Everyone's in New York. Everything's America-centric.
Yeah. Can we try to list... Let's take out Marvel.
Okay.
Everything else that's in New York. Like, other franchises, comic book characters that happen to live in New York.
So not Marvel.
Not Marvel. Because every Marvel character is in New York.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes without
saying. Except for the West Coast Avengers.
And the Great Lakes Avengers.
I loved them.
They were Alpha Flight. Flat Man.
Do you ever Big get Hero the 6? The Flatman action figure?
No, there was one.
Well, it was listed as an action figure, but it was just printed on the back of a comic. It's like infinite points of articulation. Like, that's pretty good.
That's true. He was a Mad Folden cover.
What DC characters are specifically based in New York?
Well, really, Metropolis is New York.
But New York also exists.
Yeah.
It does. New York exists separately of Metropolis because I think. Yeah. Well, again, I will go to Kyle Rayner, but he lived in New York initially.
That's true.
He specifically didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that.
I feel like he did. Oh, you did. You did. That's true. I was questioning myself and you by proxy, but yes, no. Kyle Rayner lived in New York. Who's based out of New York, and Metropolis and Gotham exist separately, apparently, because they're both clearly New York. But whatever.
Well, both of those I always thought were clearly just metaphors for New York. But
They are. It's New York in daytime and New York at night.
But I never really realized.
And then there's just regular New York, which is always just magic hour New York.
Yeah. All the filmmakers come out and go, take a shot.
But it's always that
way,
so.
Give me gold.
Did the Max live in New York? Seems like he would live in New York.
Where's the BPRB? BPRD based out of, that was in New York, right?
Were they Pennsylvania or something?
It was something,
originally
yeah.
Pennsylvania and then in the Rockies, I think. Or, okay. I think Boulder.
Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah. It's like a Stephen King book.
There you go.
One specific Stephen King book. Because all the other ones take place in Maine. Maine is like the horror version of New York.
In the Marvel Universe, really.
Yeah.
Everything... Stephen Kingy happens there, that's for damn sure.
I want to see the Ninja Turtles fight Chuds.
Me too.
Daniel Stern is also there. Just because.
Daniel Stern.
He was in Chud.
Was he? Yeah. I haven't seen that in so many years.
It's funny because Chud was, it was Daniel Stern and it was the dad from Home Alone as like the two guys fighting the Chuds.
And years ago, they met later.
The rest of this podcast is just, we put Chud on, and it's just, you just hear it in the background, we're like, hey,
oh, Daniel Stern, hey, you guys want to watch Chud?
You're a terrible father to Macaulay Culkin, sir, but fight those Chuds.
Episode 6, hey, you guys want to watch Chud?
For those who don't know what Chud is, go look it up.
Cannibalistic
humanoid underground dwellers. Yeah.
You guys were on that immediately. That was impressive. I remembered the last two parts, not the full thing.
Well, New York's always going to be bad if you only think about the pimps and the chuds.
Awesome.
Meanwhile...
Isn't that a musical? The pimps and the chuds, they're fighting.
I feel like it should be.
Crips and Bloods, Pimps and Chuds.
The other thing I was thinking about was, these both kind of connect. Fighting with no blood. Not that that happens as much now.
No.
But for years and years, there was no blood. And partially that was comics code stuff.
You can't break the skin with a punch.
Yeah.
Unless you do it at a certain angle, like wrestling.
But then there's also injuries that are forgotten 10 minutes later, or just fights that, like, bam, 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 bam. Somebody's getting hit, but it's like, oh, I'm just going to get back up and everything's fine. It's like,
yes.
Even with those superpowers, you got hit that many times.
They never really deal with superhero concussions.
Yeah, really. Like, like wrestlers, people should be just offing themselves left and right and center.
Mm-hmm. What about even just like
Fat Man hooked on painkillers?
Yeah.
Even just like collateral damage. Like sometimes again, you're stopping somebody from robbing a bank and
a bullet goes.
They end up like throwing a car into a building.
Right.
Which really honestly caused more damage than that money that they stole. You know what I mean? It's like by trying to stop them, you really caused more damage than they caused to begin with. And I mean, it's never really addressed. It's like the whole thing of being a super, you know, it's like a superhero, like fantasy thing, right? So they got to swoop in and save the day. But it's like, yeah, except, you know, that money is, you know, probably insured or whatever. And also, like, you know, whatever damage they cause, it's already caused. You don't have to cause more damage trying to stop them for something that's not really.
They got in trouble with that with the new Superman movie, Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, because like, they destroyed the whole city.
Yeah.
And must have killed like 5 million people in the process.
Right. But then they killed that one guy.
Like, no, I don't kill people. No.
I don't kill people. Oh, God, what?
I specifically don't kill the villain, and I'm going to have a proud time with that.
Okay, I haven't actually seen the movie yet.
What? Really?
No, I haven't. And I'm actually planning on watching it very soon.
I actually quite
I know what happens in the movie, but...
A lot of people didn't like it. I liked it.
I didn't like it.
No?
Yeah. I like...
But I'm excited for the next one.
Optimistic, bright Superman, and everything I saw about that movie led me to believe he's very, like, dour and pissy and just, like, sad sack.
No, not really.
I would, No, not really. Not as much
Again,
as
I haven't actually seen it. Again, that's the impression more, I got from all the promotion, or just, like, that doesn't look fun at all, right. So
more
I'm
more of the realistic
it.
Sort of... But
realistic Superman.
Well, but, like, just in terms of relationships and how people react.
Vision can light people on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that was the only, when the way they did Man of Steel was really the only way you can do it. They changed it into a sci-fi story, which really it is. He's an alien coming from another planet. And then exploring the whole history and delving more into Jor-El and blah, blah, blah. I really dug that. I was like, how you had to do it.
I couldn't care less about Krypton.
Really?
Yeah.
I would argue.
It's like, oh, you left that place when you were a baby.
Yeah.
Get over it, man.
Like, the worst part of, like, Superman Returns was the fact that he, like, abandoned Earth for, like, years on end to go find Krypton. It's like, who gives a shit? It's over. Like, again, like, you're protecting the planet that you actually grew up on, and he abandoned it.
That's, like, the difference between, driving by the house where you grew up in, and specifically going across the country to go look at the house that you grew up in.
Like, well, hey, I don't know. I disagree, also abandoning your family in the process to do your job and all your responsibilities.
I think that's more akin to somebody who's been adopted trying to find their birth mother.
Yeah.
Where it's I
think it's more like trying to find the birth mother's grave.
Well, but if that's what it is, then that's what it is.
Yeah, but...
There's a certain connection that of just knowing your own personal history. And I know numerous people that have been adopted that it's like, that's... You want to know. Even though there might be not be a tangible connection...
There's that.
That there's just like, I just have to go and find this.
With Superman, specifically, though, I mean, like, he... Again, like, in pretty much any version you see, like, he's received... He has that, though, because he's gotten, like, you know... magic crystals that, like, have his dad explaining everything to him and talking to him whenever he feels like it. So it's like, yes, but I'm also going to leave this planet even though I've gotten that amazing gift and I understand where I came from. Anyway.
Crystal dad, stay here.
Getting back a little bit further, I would argue, I mean, again, for all the quality of the original...
Can I interrupt just for a second?
Absolutely.
If you like regular dad, you'll love crystal dad. Okay, continue.
There we go.
All a great taste, but less calories.
And again, I have nothing against, say, different interpretations, and if certain people like certain interpretations more, that's fine. That's all good. Not everything has to be for everybody.
Yeah.
I'd argue, though, I mean, like, for all those movies' flaws, and there are many, if you don't enjoy Christopher Reeve as Superman, I think, honestly, maybe you just don't like Superman.
You might be right. Yes and no.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that in my opinion...
You're wrong.
Again, Christopher Reeve as Superman, like, just embodying that goodness, embodying that, like, perfect. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've recasted that character multiple times, and I would argue that there's a reason that Christopher Reeve is always the first face and name that comes to mind, because that's Superman. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's Superman at his best.
I still like Dean Cain a lot. Hey, somebody has to. Somebody it just has happens to be me.
My fiance actually, yeah, we had this same discussion not too long ago, and she, you know, grew up watching Lois and Clark.
It's like,
so, yeah,
exactly.
She liked Dean Cain.
I saw Lois and Clark before I saw any other Superman movie or anything. And I'm like, yeah, Dean Cain, that's my Superman.
Right.
Believe it or not, he's Superman.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
The first being, whatever happened to thought bubbles?
Have you read Garfield lately? Speaking of which,
he died in 1989. Did you read that?
Yes.
And legitimately,
it's crazy.
We're on a tangent here, but again, like, Jim Davis, like, clearly does not give a shit about anything. He cares about all the money Garfield makes. So that in itself was almost like him actually being like, you know what? Fuck this. And actually, like, this is what I actually want to do.
Fuck you, he choked on lasagna.
His own artistic thing is being like, hey, that stupid comic you've been reading, that terrible comic you've been reading for all these years, this is what happened for real. But then backing away because he still needs to cash those fat Garfield checks. Good for Jim Davis.
I think I'm going to do a drawing of Garfield, and there's like a bottle of Jack Daniels on the ground, and he's like on his back, and he's choked on lasagna, and he's just thrown it up and died right there.
And you can buy that picture at Merkasylum.com.
Selling prints.
That's a Merc shirt right there.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's a really good Merc shirt. Yeah.
I'd buy that one.
I would too. Wow, I've been staying away from doing a license.
Intellectual.
Yeah.
Although every fucking other T-shirt site.
Everyone does it. Oh, yeah. Nobody gets in trouble.
I bought a Cyclops Was Right shirt earlier today.
Did you?
Oh, I was super excited to get it.
Where did you get that?
Is it the red one with black?
Yep. I got it from the Philippines. Shipping was $20, but the shirt was $4.50. So.
Wow.
I feel like that's kind of breaking even.
Well, I guess so. That's
there's all
much
yeah. There's
paying.
All these T-shirt things that I kind of follow and look up, and they're all even. I won't say the name of the place that I get my shirts made.
Until like, they give us money.
Secret. Well, yeah, I design it and then I send it to them to get manufactured, and then they send it to me. But even they were advertising. They're like, "Hey, you can get this is the shirt of the day, and this it's copyrighted stuff."
Yeah,
and I'm like, you have a copyright notice that's all over your website.
Yeah.
That you cannot upload this, but obviously you don't give a shit. And
I think it's one of those things where they do it, like, specifically by design, that if it's only up there for 24 hours, it's like, it's by the time that you could actually, you know, have some legal action in place, it's gone already. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's... And I won't lie, I bought some of those shirts.
Well, no. Not that I don't understand that, but it's in like kind of. Should I go there? I don't like. I could easily make more money that way.
I think,
you could design
if you have a proper spin on it. Yeah. Then it's fine. But if you're just like, hey, here's clearly Adventure Time with something else, then it's not a good design. First of all, because it's been done a million times.
Yeah. Well, but it's just there's certain websites that are gone to, like, and
yes,
if it's like something that's legitimately parody that, you know, would be protected under law, which is legit.
Yeah,
like,
but
again,
the vast majority are not. These are not parody.
Right.
These are just here's a cool picture of Boba Fett.
Yeah, there's that.
Like,
I mean, like mashups.
And even
I guess,
even your Cyclops shirt is not a parody. That's
just something.
Oh,
from
it's
the
just
thing.
A shirt that a guy wore, and I wanted it.
Quit Inquire. I mean, again, for like 13 years, I've wanted the classic Magneto is Right shirt.
See, I feel more strongly that Cyclops was right.
I would get behind that. Yeah, I don't feel that Magneto was
that's
right.
That's why I didn't get the Magneto was Right shirt.
I mean, I, you
because I'm not a terrorist.
It's true. And neither is Cyclops, apparently.
Ah. I'd get the Magneto.
I'm just saying. Charles Xavier has been trying to cure this, fix this problem for like 50-something years, and he still hasn't gotten fucking anywhere. He got dead, is what he got.
Yeah, I was going to say, he got one place.
Multiple times, though.
Okay, but going back to the shirt thing, that it was, I've gone to these shirt websites, and it's, I look through them, and it's like, okay, people are uploading their own designs, and then people can buy them, whatever.
Nobody goes for that, though. Everybody goes for, hey, this is a Callahan Tires shirt. Oh, like from Tommy Boy. I like that. I'm going to get that. But, you know, it's...
Well, it's in here, like, whatever $6
t-shirts or whatever. Maybe I shouldn't have said it out loud.
Well, I hope you like your t-shirts misaligned, because that's what you're going to get from a place like that.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, again, if you're doing some sort of a mashup or some sort of a parody, that's one thing. But if you're just doing a thing from a thing, it's sort of like... Maybe...
But check out my shirt. It says Nest Tea.
But even the ones that
like
are...
Like that tea.
But even the ones that are parodies, aren't whatever... I'm just looking at this overall website, and looking at several of them, just thinking, okay, these are artists. What are you doing? What are you doing with your talent?
Right.
Oh, I'm just taking stuff that already exists and just drawing it.
Like you've said many a time before.
Yeah.
Do it good. That's what you say, right? You say...
I was like, what?
It's... Doing good.
Doing good.
2014.
Doug.
2014. I mean,
well,
like...
it was just, like, I, the
you're
idea
not
of,
wrong,
like...
but at the same time, if, like, if there's some money in it...
But that's part of it. And it's okay, now we're slipping down that slope of...
Yeah.
Oh, are we all doing this... And, you know, I'm sure a bunch of these are, like, 15, 16-year-old kids that are, I'm uploading this drawing that I did. Or, now I'm 20, and then I'm 25, and I'm still drawing... Right. It's the idea of, like, okay...
I'm making 83 cents per shirt.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you're not raking hand over fist, I'm sure, but it's, at the same time...
It's something.
Well, no, and but. That and that's fine, and I totally understand that. And part of it, it's like a double-edged sword, that it's, like... doing art, or doing it for money, but then at the same time, you're just doing licensed properties, and you're really not being that inventive, you're not being that creative. I'm seeing your shirts, they're not bad, but they're not good. And it's like, okay, oh, you just drew Superman and you put him on a shirt. That's cool. Oh, you did 4,000 fucking Doctor Who shirts. Okay, I get it.
Thank there you. Are a lot of them, and I own
well,
some
well, it's
of
like
them.
In every genre, whatever, and then you get these little, like, the little fad. This is what comes up now. This is the big thing right now, and there's 8,000 shirts of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? What can you...
Keep in mind, though. I mean, keep in mind, some of them are legitimately very good.
And some
of them sell like crazy for a good reason. And you know what I mean? There is a legitimate question there being like, yes, okay, this is a property owned by people and maybe it's not right to do that per se. But at the same time, this person did that and the owners of this property didn't.
Yeah, I get
so
it. And
so
I,
they're
I,
like
it's
the
not
vigilante
even...
superhero.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, it's not, I don't really, not that I don't have a problem with using copyright things. I can to a point. That's not really my point, is that it's copyright thing. There is that, and that's a totally separate issue, that it's like, these sites say, do not upload copyrighted things, and it's 97%
then they
is all
promote
copyright.
Them aggressively
yeah,
promote
and then
them,
they
yeah,
push
yeah.
them, and you're like, well, why do you put that up? I get it, it's like a back...
Covering their own
asses.
You
have to cover
yeah.
your ass. But at the same time, whatever. But then it's more just the artistic thing of, like, is that all... people can do is regurgitate.
Like people that have like an artistic talent and the main thing they're doing is just sort of
is regurgitating
kind of pandering
culture,
to the fan stuff.
And pandering.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, like who here hasn't drawn some fan
course.
Art? Oh,
yeah.
I've done a ton of it. And I mean, like, you know, again, most of what I do is my own thing, but I mean, you know, I guess even that is sort of like based on old, like actual myths and pre-established stuff myself, but... Yeah, I mean, you have a point there.
Vatican's gonna sue you!
But, I mean, again, I've posted, even just, like, say, on Tumblr or what have you, I've maybe, or, like, even on DeviantArt or something, like, I've posted something with, quote-unquote, my characters, and then, say, I'll post something that is, like, you know, from something else. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, I'll draw a picture of, like, Link or something, or I'll draw a picture of, like, a Ninja Turtle, whatever, and that'll get more of a reaction.
Well, yeah, of course.
Because it's something that people already know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's sort of, I think it's, you know...
I know.
We do live in a world, like, even just Tumblr itself, I mean, you get so many, like, reblogs or whatever, if you draw some fan art that's really nice that people like... And then you might have your own ideas that you do, and that gets a fraction of attention.
Absolutely.
So there's a certain point where it's like, hey, I could do a design of something that people already like, and sell that, and make a lot more money than I could doing my own thing.
It's just my own issue.
Oh, and
my
you're
own
not
issue
wrong.
With
you're absolutely
like,
right.
You know what? People can't. It's not even that other people can't do it. It's just like art in itself that people can't just do original things, and people are celebrated for it. It's like, no, I have to do what's popular culture.
I mean,
and then people get.
I've got a good catch on this, and I've
Yeah, we're on the Great Wolverine sketch.
Yeah, like we're on the internet where again, like
I'm gonna like you for a couple of years.
Legitimately, yeah. Like the potential for people to put their own ideas out there and people to get them is right. Bigger than ever. But it's you know at the same time, there's such a demand for, again, something that we're already familiar with that gets more attention. Yeah. So you know it's kind of what do you do?
In my head, that's part of what I was saying before.
I link that
to the
do it.
Not as smart that it's we just culture feeds you this, and this is what you're gonna like, and this you're gonna continue to like this. You're not gonna like new things because you can't handle that. And
you're brought into something, and then it just keeps getting spit out and spit out and spit out. And it's like, now this is like a thing. I'm part of the thing, so I'm one of the cool kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's that, and it's just, and the people that even respond to it, that it's like, oh, I get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this picture? I don't know that character. I don't get that. And it's like, well, no, but it's art. Look at it.
Give it
what
a
do
chance.
You, what do you look? Right. What are you looking at?
Right.
Like, yeah. And it's just where our art has to be like Twitter fed and have a hashtag to it. And sorry, I'm going on a big rant tangent.
You're going on a rant inside the rant.
That's what I mean. You know, I mean, we're all going to
podcast inside the podcast.
Yeah.
Take the rant.
But again,
it all came back together.
Well, that was our sixth episode, and I'm specifically naming it as the sixth.
Well, I guess it better damn well be the sixth.
Yep, it has to be. If
my cat's coming downstairs. He's gonna. Underpants.
Who are we? Who are we?
People? We are.
I'm Bry Kotick. My name is Bry Kotick. You can find me online at welcometohereafter.com. That is my webcomic that updates on a schedule. I don't know what the schedule is, but there is one. Passing it over.
And I'm Kyle Lees, and you can check out my comic at skiningers.com. It updates whenever the hell I feel like it does. Who are you? Are you my mom? No, you're not. Get off my back.
It's true, I'm not your mom.
Okay, then. I'm Merc. You can find my stuff at www.mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. You can find me at Merc on Facebook or nowadays on Facebook. That's all we got. You look like Sitch.
Super Sitch.
Super Sitch with the super Amish beard.
You know we have listeners that don't know.
I know.
Yes! The most in-jokes ever.
Yeah.
Hey, internet, you know that person I know, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know him, he looks pretty Amish.
Well, what? Okay, going back.